Book of Galatians, that's where we're going to start this morning. Chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. If you need a Bible, there are several in the pews. If there's not one right before you, nudge the person next to you and say, "Hey, hand me one of those Bibles, would you please?" They'll be happy to do it. Let's go back to the Lord in prayer for a moment. Father, we're so thankful for what you did in sending your Son, Jesus, to redeem us back from the pit. Give us a life not only here, but for eternity with you, fellowshipping with you, being with you, Lord. We can't even imagine what it's going to be like. But we thank you that we have that to look forward to. We have that hope of being with you. Lord, help us here, while we're here in this place, on earth, a world of sin, to die to ourselves, Lord, and to live through you, with you living through us, to conquer this world, to have victory in you, humbling ourselves to a Savior that loved us so much, he gave himself to a gruesome death on the cross. We give you praise and glory, Lord Jesus, for saving us, for sacrificing yourself for us, for giving us the hope of redemption and being with you in eternity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's for you we live today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord and his wonderful gift of life and salvation. Now we all know that we live for something, don't we? We live for something. We live for someone to focus on and someone to love and cherish. We might hold up our parents and say, "Oh, we love them so much. We'll take care of them and help them." We might love our children the same way and say, "We would give anything to help them and raise them up the right way." We'll even drag them to church if we have to, right? To hear the message of Jesus Christ. But I think if you start that early enough and consistently enough, you won't have an argument. They'll come on in, right? Spouses may live for each other, and business owners may live for the success of their business. We say that we are living for something when that is the motivation for all we do. We dedicate our lives to that thing that motivates us. Amen. Living for Jesus. What does it mean to live for Jesus? Ponder that for a moment. Living for Jesus. It means that pleasing Jesus is our highest aim and goal. Nothing else comes close. We live to please him, because he gave himself for us. We wouldn't have a life, an eternal life, without him and what he did.
Amen.
Do you realize that? We would be dead in our trespass and sin. We would have nothing to look forward to except our cheap imitation of success in the world. That would be a hollow thing to take to the grave, wouldn't it? That would be as far as you would go. Colossians 1:10 says, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Living for Jesus means just that. Focusing on our life for the Lord, pleasing him, bearing fruit in His name, doing good works in His name. But understand, none of that will save you. That comes after salvation. That shows your belief in salvation. That shows your trust in what Jesus did. But none of those things save you. Only your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary's cross, giving His body and shedding His blood. Only your faith in that will save you. Amen. And then once you're saved, you go on to live for Him. The Scripture says that is your reasonable service. You have to understand, you're a dead person. Dead people don't have a mind of their own anymore. Dead people don't do whatever they want to do. Dead people can't get up and go somewhere. Their life is over. The only difference between us and dead people is we can go where the Lord calls us to go. He enables us. He gives us life to serve Him. That's what our lives should be about once we confess Christ as our Savior. Most of us don't realize that. We're giving up our life, our wants, our desires, and we're replacing them with His wants, His desires, His will. And if you do that, you won't be disappointed with your life. He will open doors and take you to places you would have never imagined that you would be. Growing up, I never pictured myself standing in the pulpit preaching God's Word. That was so foreign to me, never crossed my mind. But God has a plan. Amen?
Amen.
Although we have dozens of lesser motivators, believers in Christ are motivated primarily by the Lord's goals and plans. That should be our focus. What does the Lord want? What does He plan? And we have an idea of that by reading the Scriptures. We know what He wants. He wants people to be saved. He wants all people to be saved. He wants us to go and tell them about His gospel so that they'll have an idea of how to get saved. And then hopefully they'll follow through on that. Scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. His mind is get people saved. That's the mind we should have. Get people saved. What does that mean? It means go and tell them about the good news of Jesus so they can make an informed decision about their future, about their eternity. Because that's what we're talking about. Oh, we believers, we like to brag. We have eternal life with the Lord. We're never going to pass away. We're going to go to Him. We're going to pass from this realm of earthly living and go to an eternal life with Jesus. But what about those that don't trust Jesus? They're not going to just and expire. They're not going to be just gone out of our sight and view. As we enjoy eternal life, they'll be in horror at the eternal death they're dying. There's no expiration date on it. It's eternal. Dying, 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 dying. That's all they have to look forward to. I just want you to get a sense of what they're going to experience. And hopefully that'll motivate you a little more to speak up for Jesus. Just say what you can. Oh, they're going to want to argue with you. Don't argue with them. Just leave them with the thought that Jesus loved you and gave His life for you.
Right.
Tell them that. Tell them that so they'll know. When plans collide, when the goals of Jesus collide with the lesser goals of this life, the lesser goals of this life, those who are living for Jesus follow Jesus and not their own lesser plans for life. That's what we're talking about. It's sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed himself. If you're going to walk in his steps, you're going to have to sacrifice. Not everything at once. Little by little, you'll begin sacrificing. And the things you love to do that take you away from Christ, they'll fall off. And you'll start moving closer to the Lord. It's a process. Yes, there are some that, bam, they're right away close to the Lord. They start serving. They start doing things. But that doesn't happen to everyone. But God calls us all to salvation through Jesus Christ. And then we start transitioning into His life and His work. And we start transitioning out of our wants, our desires. And we have to humble ourselves to that plan. Amen? Living for Jesus, following Jesus, is sacrificing your own ways. The phrase, living for Jesus, can sound haughty and self-serving, like you're putting yourself on a pedestal. Yet Jesus warned that living for Him would be costly. Amen. It will be costly. In Luke 14, 26 through 33, He warned us of this. This is where Jesus said, if one cannot completely cut ties with their current life, including family, they cannot be His disciple. You'll be confronted by your own family about living for Jesus. They're not born again. They won't understand it. They'll think you're a goody-two-shoes or something, talking about Jesus all the time and wanting to lift Him up and nudging them to move closer to Him. You'll get resistance. Jesus told us that. In this world you shall have tribulation. Amen. No ands, ifs, or buts. You will have it. But He didn't leave it there, did He? He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome this world.
Hallelujah.
You be an overcomer through Jesus. Cut the ties to this current life and serve Him. You won't be disappointed, I guarantee it. Also, if you're going to build a building, He says this in the same scripture, make sure you can finish it so that you don't appear foolish. Because if there's one thing we don't want our Savior looking foolish, do we? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Savior of our lives. He's not a foolish person. He is real. He is powerful. He is victorious. Jesus ends that passage by saying, we cannot be His disciple without forsaking how much? All. We can't be His disciple without forsaking all. Now, He's not telling you, cut everything off, go to a monastery and start living that life of denial. That's not what He's saying. He's saying, trust Me day by day. Now that you know who I am, now that you have Me in your life, now that I've given you the Holy Spirit for victory, use those things to little by little get closer, 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 closer to Me until you're consistently living in victory for the Lord. And that doesn't mean having every little thing you want in the world. That means having all the things He wants in the world. That's where the victory is. He wants people to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Many of the first disciples were willing to pay the price. They paid the total price. The scripture tells us that they suffered tremendous persecution, even death, in order to glorify God. Read the book of Acts, chapter 5 especially. Stephen was stoned in Acts chapter 7. James was beheaded in Acts chapter 12. And history records that all the apostles but one, they all died. They all were executed for the sake of Jesus Christ. Only John survived to die what we would call a natural death, although he had been through so much, according to what's been written in history. Even today, Christians around the world are beaten, robbed, tortured, and imprisoned. Some even suffer death simply by naming the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Or even being suspected of being a Christian, being a believer. Here are some thoughts about what living for Jesus means. Living for Jesus. We hear that phrase in Christian circles often. But do we really stop and think about what does that mean? What am I supposed to do to live a life for Jesus? First, living for Jesus means we have died to sin. We've died to sin. Oh yes, we got saved, but we're still living in the flesh, aren't we? We're still here in the world, aren't we? So does sin go away simply because we got saved? No, in fact, it gets magnified. Everything we do now, we're aware of it because we have the Holy Spirit living in us and He's reminding us of who we are. And that we can't be involved in this, we can't be involved in that, we can't... Oh, that sounds so negative. Why should I be a Christian? I can't do those things I used to do. Well, the reason is because that draws you in to the kingdom of darkness. You've come out of the kingdom of darkness. You've come into the kingdom of light. And now you need to start living that way. So our reaction to the temptation of sin should be what? No! Nancy Reagan said it best. Just say no! And I'll throw this in for good measure. Turn and move away. Don't hang around. You got friends that are still out there sinning. Don't hang around. Oh, you see them on the street. You say hi. You welcome them. You show the love for them. But you could also mention the name of Jesus to them. Because they probably have heard, oh, they're living for Jesus now. They accepted Jesus. Wonder how they're going to act now. It's almost like a dare to them. I'm going to see if I can draw them. Hey, let's go down to the corner. We'll have a few beers. It's that kind of thing. To the temptation, you just have to say, no thanks. You don't have to say thanks. Just say no. And tell them, I'm honoring Jesus. You should honor Him too. He gave His life for you. Just remind them. Give them a little bump, right? We turn from sin when the opportunity arises, denying what? Our flesh. We're denying our flesh. You see, it hasn't been saved. Our souls, our spirits have been saved, but our flesh is, it's still in the world. It still wants to be king of our life. And it still tempts us in every way it can. It wants what it wants. But we have to deny our flesh. How will we do that? By yielding to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives in us. Call on the name of the Lord. When you call on the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit goes into action and empowers you to get the victory. Oh, you don't think of it that way. But that's what it is. He gives you the ability to say no and turn and walk away. That's how it works. Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? If you keep giving in, giving in, giving in, you're just a slave to sin. You called on Jesus, you got saved, your soul and spirit are saved, but you're not being a testimony for Him. You're not living a life that honors Him. You're not bringing glory to Him. And that's what we as believers need to do. That's why the world's in such a sad state as it is now. That's why people are getting shot all over our country. Because we have no regard for life. We have no respect for life. Because we don't have respect for Jesus, the giver of life. And we need to move back that way. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. That's your two choices. Who am I going to obey? My flesh or my Savior? That's your two choices. There's only two. There's no in between. Either you will or you won't. And your life will reflect it. Obey the Holy Spirit and turn from sin's opportunity. Oh, it's there lying at the door. That's what Scripture says. It's there waiting for you to entice you into death. Don't go there. Romans chapter 6 speaks about believers choosing to live for Jesus rather than self and sin. We become dead to sin and alive to God when? At salvation. When you call on the name of the Lord, that change comes into your life. He wipes your slate clean. And He doesn't just leave it like that. Well, I'm going to wipe your slate clean. Now good luck. See if you can keep it clean. No, He doesn't do that. He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to inhabit you. He's going to come into your life. He's going to guide you. But you still have a responsibility, don't you? You must humble yourself to the Holy Spirit. So when you start to do something and the Holy Spirit says, that's really not for you, then you must turn and move away from it. Move to the Spirit and follow Him. Amen?
Amen.
We become dead to sin and alive to God at salvation, changing from slaves of sin to slaves of God, Christ, the Holy Spirit. You can name any of them or all of them. They're all God. Together, they're God Almighty that gives you the victory over sin. And what else? Sin and death. Sin and death. Yes. God Almighty is the victory over death. So that instead of it becoming the end of life and the beginning of eternal life or death, it becomes the end of life here and the beginning of eternal life in glory with the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we sing about? Isn't that what we all say? Yeah, I want to be there. Of course it is. We must obey the Holy Spirit so that we are no longer slaves to sin. We want to be slaves of the Holy Spirit, of God.
Amen.
Obeying the Holy Spirit at His every command and prompting. You've heard, dead men don't tell tales. Right? Dead men can't speak. They can't do anything. Well, dead men don't make choices either. Dead men don't have a choice. Being dead to sin means we no longer consider sinning against God as a viable option. I have died to sin. I'm alive to Christ. My only option is follow Him. Follow Him. And the Holy Spirit will give you the power to follow Him. What's your part? Give in to the Holy Spirit. Humble yourself to the Holy Spirit. Oh, I hear you. I'm not going to go down there. I'm going to go another way. I'm going to walk in the Spirit, following the Lord. I'm going to imitate Him. You ever hear the book, In His Steps? Charles Sheldon. It's a good read. It's a fictional story, but it's seemingly about real people and how they made a commitment to Christ and started living for Him. And how that worked out for them. I challenge you to give it a read. Being dead to sin means we no longer even consider sinning against God as a viable option. As a believer, I no longer have a choice. I should be honoring God with all my choices. Scripture says, I have been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? I'm a dead person walking. I'm only walking because I have the power of the Holy Spirit making me move. That's how I should be thinking. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God.
Amen.
What does that do for me? It empowers the Holy Spirit to come into me and guide me from that moment on. But I still have to make that choice, don't I? I still have to humble myself. I still have to follow the Holy Spirit by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's my motivation. God Almighty died in my place for me. That should motivate me to want to do good for His sake. And if I do good for His sake, will it affect anybody else? Of course it will. People will see that and they'll want to know, how is it that you're living that way? How can you be kind and considerate, even forgiving to people that harm you and belittle you? It's only by the power of God. It's only by humbling myself to the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? It means dying to self. Yes, I have been crucified with Christ. I am dying to myself. And it may not happen overnight. Most people it doesn't. It takes time and effort. It takes commitment. You have to consciously say to yourself, I will follow Christ. Holy Spirit, You have my permission to thump me, nudge me, kick me, whatever it takes to get me to remember that I'm following Christ. Amen. So that whenever we're doing something that's not like Christ, oh, I feel it.
Amen.
What am I doing? That's not like Christ. And I change course. Amen?
Amen.
Die to self. It means I don't have a choice about sinning. I can't consider sinning. Why? Because I'm dead. I'm a dead man walking in the Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ who loved me and saved me. I'm no longer living. It's Christ living in me via the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit comes. God living in you, guiding you. That decision was made when, what happened? We bowed to Christ. We bowed down to the Lord. And we were born again by Christ's grace through faith. Through faith. The Holy Spirit working on people. Using us, letting them know that Jesus died for their sake. And the Holy Spirit says He died for you. Won't you consider that? Won't you consider living for Him? Won't you consider accepting Him as your Savior as He shed His blood for you? That's one of the works of the Holy Spirit. He is guiding and working on every person to come to Christ. He uses believers to help. That's why we get out there. That's why we speak of Jesus. That's why we wear t-shirts and hats. Just get His name out there. People will ask you, right? And yes, we will still stumble at times. Sin no longer masters us, though. Yes, our walk with the Lord is like this. Up, and then we stumble. And then we recover and go up. And then we stumble, but then we recover and we go up. But what's the trend? The trend is always this way. It's not straight up. It's not Billy Graham. It's not Luis Palau. It's not Peter or Paul. It's us. We may never reach those pinnacles of success in our Christian walk, but that doesn't mean we don't try. We still have that commitment. Amen?
Amen?
Just as a corpse does not lust, covet, or gossip, those who are dead to sin do not heed those temptations. They live for Jesus. What does that mean? I'm dead to sin. I don't honor it. I don't participate in it. I don't allow it. I fight it with the power of the Holy Spirit as much as I can. Living for Jesus means I'm dead to sin. Secondly, living for Jesus means, don't worry, there's only 10 more. Not really, I'm just kidding. Living for Jesus means we have only one God. Just one God. This is the first commandment in Exodus 20 and verse 3. You shall have no other gods before you. Yet people can do and do make gods out of anything they can. John Calvin rightly stated this, the human heart is an idol factory. End quote. We may identify our false gods by asking ourselves this question. Now you have to be bold to do this. You see, these are self-examination questions. This is not the only one. But you can start with this one. What is it that I am not willing to lay on the altar? What is it that I'm putting before God that I won't give up? I won't lay it on His altar. That's a starting place. The Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. And then He'll help you work through it. And He'll help you get stronger in that area of your life so that you'll eventually have the victory. Whatever we refuse to give to God becomes a God to us.
Hallelujah.
It starts controlling our life. We can't have that. Living for Jesus means we continually search our hearts for idols that steal our time and affection away from total devotion to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I am afraid." This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, or I should say the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul to the church at Corinth. "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." You have to be careful about what you let in the eye gate, the ear gate, the brain gate, because it's going to end up in your heart. And that's going to influence your action. Be careful. The devil is very tricky. Very tricky. Living for Jesus means we only have one God.
Amen.
We live for Him.
Amen.
Thirdly, living for Jesus means we diligently study His Word. We diligently study His Word. We set a time apart to sit down and focus on it. We pray and ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit to help keep out all those other thoughts that are continually invading our brain. What about this? What about this? You know, you got to do that. You didn't get that done. Go over there. No, it's constant, isn't it? We have to shut that off by saying, "Holy Spirit, shut it off so I can focus on Your Word." I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, that your thoughts would be led astray. We must diligently study His Word. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. How do you do that? How do you present yourself as a worker for God that's approved? A worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the Word of Truth. That's what it is, the Word of Truth. And you can use it to help others know the truth. They need it. They need it. Correctly handling God's Word is vital. Remember COVID? It's essential. Yes, it's essential for one who wants to avoid deception from the enemy and live as salt and light in this world. Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill and cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. It's really His good works, isn't it? They may see His good works through you. Because the Holy Spirit's working through you, you must allow it. They'll see those good works and do what? Glorify God in heaven.
Amen.
What's the best way they'll do that? They'll say, yes, Jesus, I believe you gave your life for me. You saved me by shedding your blood and washing away my sins. That's true glory, isn't it? We avoid deception by applying God's word regularly and consistently to our lives. We need to hold our life up to the mirror of Scripture and see what it reflects back. And then make the adjustments we need. The Holy Spirit says in Acts 20 and verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." That's why you're here today. You're receiving part of the whole counsel of God. You get some of it every time you sit under God's word. Doesn't matter where you're at while you're sitting under it. You can be sitting at home watching a preacher on TV. You're still sitting under His word, right? But don't forsake the fellowship of the saints. You need that encouragement. And we need to encourage one another. Amen? Amen. God gave us His written instruction book. You have it there. It's called the Bible. Living for Jesus means diligently studying His word. Diligently. Fourthly, living for Jesus means we use our gifts to serve God and others. You know God gifted you with some things. We all have different gifts. But that's okay. It helps the church body minister to the world. Oh, I can't help you with that one. I don't have much knowledge of that. But Brother Randy can help. Sister Deborah can help. She has some knowledge in that area. See, we don't have to know it all. But we should be familiar with who can help. And at the very most, we know He can help. Call on the name of the Lord, and what will happen? You will be saved. Do you think that's a one-time thing? I called on Him. I got saved 50 years ago. I haven't called on Him since then. What kind of a Christian life is that? It's not a Christian life. It's a facade, a false representation. We need to use our gifts to serve God and others. We do this by imitating. Oh, it's okay. You can imitate Christ. That's allowable. Imitate Christ's love, mercy, and help to others. We study Jesus in the Scriptures and pattern our lives after Him. How long has it been since you read through the Gospels? Make it a point to review that. And then we follow Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." What makes you dear children? The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ endears you to God. "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us." How did He show that? He gave Himself for us. He died for us. That's His expectation for you. If you didn't know that, let me just be the first one to open your eyes. No, you're not going to die a physical death. You're not going to go out there and stand in front of cars to stop traffic and eventually get run over. No. You're going to die spiritually to your self-ego, your self-desires, You're going to make your desires His desires. You're going to make His desires your desires. So that you're on the same plane, walking together. Amen? Be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love. Walk in love. What's the greatest love you can show to a person? Have you heard about Jesus? Do you know that Jesus gave His life for you? Do you know He died an excruciating death on a cross? Took Him a few hours to die. But He did. And you know what the best part is? He rose again from the dead. What's the big deal about that? It proves He was who He said He was. And He can do what He said He can do. Amen? Jesus was kind, so we imitate His kindness. He gave unselfishly, so we set aside our preferences and devote our time, resources, and energy to His purposes. What's His number one purpose? Keeping you close to Him. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, it's going out there and sharing Him. Amen? Stay close to the Lord, or you're not going to go out there and share Him. There's a temperature check for you. How often do you even speak the name of Jesus when you're out in public? Devote our time and resources to Him and His purposes. Paul says in Corinthians, imitate me as I do what? Imitate Christ. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. That's what we should be doing for people, showing them how to imitate Christ by our love and kindness and all the fruits of the Spirit. Yes, I can't remember them all. I'll admit it. Should have made a note, but I didn't. But we must imitate Christ by imitating the fruit of the Spirit. People who live for Jesus develop their spiritual gifts and use them. Unbelievable. We can use our spiritual gifts for the glory of our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Are you? Are you? As 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, and as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're the manifold. All the love, kindness, all the fruits of the Spirit are coming through us. Right? It's like the manifold on a car. Brings in all the oxygen where it's supposed to be and takes out all the exhaust. You're in the manifold. Living for Jesus means we find our greatest fulfillment. Our greatest fulfillment. Using our God-given gifts, serving Christ. Have you ever led anyone to the Lord? The Lord used you to lead someone to Him? Man, the feeling you have after that, you can't even describe it. You can't describe it. That's fulfillment. Serving the Lord. Using the gifts He gave you to please Him. Pleasing the Lord is our reward. It's our reward. 1 Corinthians 5:9 says, therefore, because of all the things the Lord has done for us. That's what that therefore means. Because of all of this, all of His goodness, we make it our aim, whether present or absent from our body, to be well-pleasing to Him. Whether you're alive here or you've gone on to glory, whatever you do, make sure it's pleasing Him. That's what He wants to see. And of course, you know a believer who's absent from the body is where? Present with the Lord. Living for Jesus is using our gifts to serve God and others. Fifthly, we're getting close. Living for Jesus means we know where our true treasure is.
Amen.
We know where our true treasure is. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. The Philippian church had gone beyond and above their reasonable means to supply Paul as God's missionary. Paul reassures them that God will not forsake them. They're not going to be out begging bread because they supported God's missionary. No, He's going to bless them. Believers are not as concerned about earthly treasures, especially when supporting the Lord's work. You want to know why the Lord blesses this church? Because we have many giving opportunities for missionary work, both in the foreign nations and here at home.
Amen.
I mean, how many do we give to? Deborah, there's about 8 or 9 or 10.
Eight.
That you support with your giving. That's why God blesses us. All we're doing is funneling His resources to His work. That's what He wants us to do. We are to live with frugality. That means live as a tightwad. Yes, live as a tightwad so you can give liberally to God's work. This will allow us to enjoy all of God's blessings in this life and beyond. There'll be more enjoyment in glory. Right? We have that to look forward to. Live like you're a happy believer. Live that way. Jesus made it clear that we are not to make earthly success and wealth our entire focus. That's not where it's at. That doesn't mean live in poverty, giving all your wealth to the church. That's not what He wants either. It means following God's principles to manage your wealth for blessing here and blessing there as an honor to Christ in glory. Follow His guidelines and precepts. They're in His Word. Read it. Study it. Living for Jesus means we know where our true treasure is stored. Last page. Number 6. People who are living for Jesus focus on eternity. Focus on eternity. Dedicating themselves to matters of eternal significance.
Amen.
What would that be? Salvation for self and others. Worldly entanglements are temporary and are likely to be wasted time and effort. Wasted time and effort spent on worldly wealth and position. Our passion and energy should be directed toward investing in the lives of others, both saved and not saved, investing in the lives of others who will join us in heaven one day. Yes. You may help someone enter in the glory by allowing the Holy Spirit to use you. You may not even know it till you get there. But we need to help one another. Matthew 6:20 tells us, lay up for yourselves treasures in glory, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal it. You have your works for the Lord locked in the bank of Jesus Christ. No one can bother it. No one can steal it away. Ryan, please come up. Becoming a Christian, trusting Christ, means we are choosing to live for Jesus instead of living for ourselves. We're dead. We died. We gave it all to the Lord. And we said, live through me, Lord. Give me the Holy Spirit to help me surrender myself to you. He made his requirement clear. You want to live for Jesus? Here's what he said. If anyone desires to come after me, let them deny themselves. Let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. People often wonder, what does that mean? Take up my cross daily. What is it to take up your cross daily? In a nutshell, it's this. Give my life to him. Die to my desires. Promote and live for his. I'm working for Jesus, not me. And I show that by the way I live. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not a nutshell, is it? But that's what it is. Give up yourself. Let Christ live through you. Amen?
Amen.
Carrying our cross means God's will, not mine. God's will, not mine. This allows the Holy Spirit the freedom to lose His power, not lose, loose His power for victory. When you humble yourself, the Holy Spirit can come alive in you and lead you and empower you to victory. That's what it means. Jesus said, we cannot have two masters. We can't have all these little gods in our lives and expect to have victory in Jesus. It doesn't work that way. He will not share His throne. Luke 14:27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We either live for Jesus or for something or someone else. This causes weak spots in our walk in the Spirit. You ever think, wonder why I'm not getting victory? I don't feel like I'm getting victory. Why am I not getting victory? Why don't I feel better about living for Jesus? Look at your commitment. Look at your commitment. Look and see if you're carrying your cross. Dying for the Lord. Giving up yourself. Humbling yourself to Him. Not just once in a while, but consistently. You must deny yourself consistently for consistent victory. They go hand in hand. Are you ready? See, that's the call. Are you ready to give up what you want for what He wants? Dedicate yourself to Him? Are you ready to surrender all to Jesus by living, or I should say, allowing the Holy Spirit to live through you? Are you ready to say, I have been crucified with Christ? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the call. You can be born again by living a miserable life because you're not getting the victory. That's what you have to do to get the victory. Humble yourself to death and live for Christ. Pick up your cross and go forward with Him. The Holy Spirit will support you.